When Ham, the astroturf, said, "No more space flights." Who did great minds at NASA turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
No. This world-renowned actor slash daredevil has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's the poster child for no cloning.
Paul LaVoie!
Welcome to Speak Out for Monday, April 25th, 2022. Brother Jim Russell in the co-pilot seat.
Yes, indeed. Good day.
Almost like being on one of those big 3,500 horsepower boats.
Yeah.
A Desert Storm in the co-pilot seat, right?
Right.
That's how fast we roll here. How was your weekend, sir?
Weekend was good. Weekend was good. A little bit of help we got to provide to Desert Storm, and all went well.
Looks like you got a tan, or maybe it's the white shirt. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe just contrast.
It's a white shirt, white hair, and a tan in between. It's actually pretty cool. But, I actually spent some time outdoors on Saturday morning, bright and early. We did a Kiwanis Adopt-a-Highway cleanup on Highway 95, in that section in front of Staples there.
Picking up trash instead of playing music for the weekend.
20 bags. We had 20 volunteers. 20 bags, those blue bags that you see sitting out on the side of the highway. Yeah, we collected a lot. And in fact, somebody, one lucky person, found a $100 bill.
Wow.
And somebody else found 10 or 20.
I bet that was money just salted there to get people encouraged and enthusiastic about going out and picking up the trash.
Well, here's the thing. Now, talk about a dedicated Kiwanian. This person looked under a rock. What he was doing looking under a rock for trash, I don't know. But apparently there was a piece of paper sticking out. He overturned the rock, and it was a faded $100 bill.
Jeez.
But it was still usable. And he immediately held it up to the sun. But so it's a real deal. But the question is, who drives down the street and loses a $100 bill?
Well, how did it get under a rock? I think we need to investigate this.
Especially right next to it. It had to skirt the bike path somehow. Jeez. There's a bike path right there. As you go northbound. So I don't know. It brings up all kinds of questions.
Yeah.
Like, what happened when they got to the bank? Or if they were making a deposit, right? Hey, someone stole $100 from me. So hopefully somebody didn't get punished for and wrongfully accused for stealing a $100 bill.
Now you've blown the whistle on the air here. Somebody's going to get in trouble. Yeah, your friend's going to lose that $100.
It could have been 3-4 months ago. You know, who knows? So, and then went to Bullhead City or Fort Mojave, came back, and as soon as I got back, I heard the news via email from our treasurer, David Lane, that Myron Deshane had passed.
Uh-huh.
Myron, a longtime resident of the community, 50 years in Kiwanis.
Wow.
He started in Montana and was with our club here in Lake Havasu City for a number of years, was a former district governor from 98 to 2000. That means you're way up in the food chain when you're a district governor. And a lot of the Kiwanis benches you see around town, the wood benches, he built a lot of those.
Cool.
That was his passion. That and the flag program, and I was his partner on the flag program. He'd pick me up bright and early after I produced the news on a holiday, and we'd go out and put up flags and then come back, you know, around sunset and take them down. So, I'm going to miss him.
Yeah.
I admit, being a news person, I'm a little jaded to these things, but, you know, there's always those few that get to me, and this one stuck with me for a few days.
Gosh.
So, I'm going to miss Myron Deshane.
He was a good guy.
He was a very, very good guy, and a friend to Speak Out and a sponsor at one time, too, with MDIC Insurance. So, Myron, we're going to miss you for sure. He left a wife, 3 kids, 9 grandchildren, and 5 great-grandchildren.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, on the air with us by phone, Buster Johnson, District 3 County Supervisor. How are you, sir?
Fine. I just been out looking for a $100 bill I lost here. Did you think about it?
Nice.
Very good, nice, Buster. Nice, very nice. Good.
So your budget came out $100 short, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Well, you can always take it out of Sarah's pay, right?
I like get a bigger gun.
Yeah, I got to thank Sarah. You have the best assistant in the business, man. I'll tell you. She got to me via email before I could get to her to ask when you're going to be on the show.
And wow.
That's it. Normally I'm right on top of it, but she's even more on top of it than I am. So good job, Sarah Hall. We appreciate you here at Speak Out. And I want to talk about the, I guess the residents of Havasu Heights got together, or I don't know if it was one resident, several residents, but there was a petition to the County Board of Supervisors for a water system. Is that correct?
Yes, they want to form an improvement district.
So what's the status on that? Is there money available? Are they going to pay for it themselves, or is there assistance from the county? How does all that work?
No, they pay for that themselves. They, if they want to form the district, then they form it, and then they start their own, basically, association that furnishes the water for the area.
So what is an improvement district? I mean, what does it constitute? Is it just an agreement to finance a project, or is it always related to water, or what isn't it actually?
Now, there's a few things an improvement district can do. Roads are one of the biggest ones that they can do. They can, you know, you have to get, you know, 50+1% of the people to sign on that they want to form the district, and then you've got to get the same amount of people to decide that they want to incur the expenses, and then the expenses are over everybody in the district to pay for roads or water systems.
So how
those are the two things they mostly use them for.
How do they go about that? So they get the okay from you, from the supervisors to do it, then they assemble the people, the 51%, and then how the heck do they get water?
Well, then they've got to incur the debt to drill the wells and put all the water system in, and then they have to form their, you know, kind of like Havasu Heights, you know, they have a water district up there. It's not county run, but they did it on their own. And then they bill the people, you know, you hook into their system. And if you're inside their system, then you have to use their system.
So aren't you set up like that in Crystal Beach, Jim?
No.
Are you on a well?
We have our own well.
Oh, you're on a well.
Yeah,
okay.
We have our own water well.
What about sewer? Are you septic or leach field?
Okay. Septic systems. And to my knowledge, there is no alternative to your own well in Crystal Beach.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting.
And how does the expense required to drill a well, then to have the storage and pumping capability to serve a large number of people, would have a extremely high attendant cost to it. How the heck do they have the creditworthiness of the county behind it or anything when they set out to do it, or they've got to just pony up all of the money up front?
They have the creditworthiness of their land, basically what they're putting up, their tax dollars. So what they do is they decide, okay, we want to do this, and say the well's going to cost us $1 million. So they, you know, the people bond for that $1 million, and then they set up a payment of, you know, 20 years, and then there's two payments come due, which I never have really cared for. One in the summer where you just pay interest, and then one right at Christmas time you get a big, huge bill that comes in that has a payment and the interest on it. And so that's how they do it. And then if, say, you're wealthy enough to be able to pay, say your portion is $10,000, and you say, well, I want to pay it up front. You can pay it up front before they bond. If they don't, if you can't do that, then you have to pay the whole 20 years of interest.
Yeah.
Because the bonding people expect to get all their money back. So even if you come into a windfall, it doesn't make any difference. You still have to pay the interest for the full term.
So do they get this money from you, from the county, to do it?
No, they go out to bonding.
I see.
Now, in the past, I've tried to, bonding is, I hate to say a ripoff, but like when we did certificates of participation, which is similar to bonding. And so what I wanted to do, I said, you know, if we think this as a county is such a good deal, why don't, and you know, municipal bonds are, you know, basically tax-free. So why don't we let the people of Mojave County buy the bonds, you know, or offer them to them if they want to buy, you know, say they, we sell half of them to our residents or whatever. Well, that's great. They got a tax-free income coming in. And they wouldn't do it. They said, we have all these bonds sold. So they go out and they have their, you know, I have no way of proving it, but they just have all their good buddies that, you know, get these good deals, you know. Because I even tried to buy one bond. I said, hey, if we're doing this, I had to show that I think it's a good enough deal that I want to buy a bond. Nope, wouldn't let me buy one.
Wow, interesting.
Interesting, yeah.
So the upside of this, obviously, for the residents is having – instead of having a well and having to worry about the electricity for the motor and the upkeep on the well and all that, is to have a running water system. But does that also include fire hydrants in those areas where there are homes?
If they want to pay the money to have that done, yes.
I see.
But not a requirement.
No.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Very interesting. All right, let's take an early break. We'll come back. And I want to remind everybody that Diamondbacks baseball over on the sports station is tonight at 6:40 against the dreaded L.A. Dodgers. So there you go. They're going to have a little three-game series with the Dodgers starting tonight at 6:40. And then the Suns return to action tomorrow at 7 p.m. against New Orleans. Of course, that loss last night in New Orleans. The Suns return home tomorrow night for Game 5. Pivotal Game 5, as they always call it. So here's some Merle Haggard for you, Buster.
All right.
And a little Think I'll Just Stay Here and Drink. That's for me and Buster. All right. And Brother Jim Russell is with us as well. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out. We'll continue. Stay with us.
That loud jukebox playing in my ear. Ain't no woman gonna change the way I think. I think I'll just stay here and drink. Yes, sir.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try.
There you go, by request. That's your song, Buster.
That's it.
All right. Speak Out, brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Patio Paradise, SamsGuns.com, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Springberg Wealth Management, and by the Lewis Team, Remax by the Lake with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis.
And they're good folks all. They just want a shot at your business, so give them a try. Shop local. When you do, tell them you learned about them on Speak Out.
There you go. Buster, we have a phone call. You ready?
Sure.
All right. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Why is my question. Why do they want their own water system?
I really don't know. I would guess that the costs of drilling wells have gotten so expensive now that they feel that if they do a community well, it would save money in the long run. Plus, a lot of places, it increases the land value if you have water available to your site. So say, you know, they're taking in, they don't have the size of the area, but say it's 640 acres, but only a small portion of them have homes on them now are going to build, you'll get a lot more homes built because now they have the water available to them.
Is that, I don't know if you talked about this earlier, I might have missed it. Are all those on septic systems then, all those properties?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you.
And as one with a well, all is great when you turn the tap and the water flows out, but when it doesn't, the buck stops with you. And that can be a very troublesome big bite to maintain a well, and like all machinery, it's got a lifespan.
Well, I can imagine, too, that it sometimes takes a while for a response from the company to come out and fix it if they have to go and retrieve a motor, for example.
Well, sure, sure. It could be a big bite, and things become troublesome. There are lots of sharing of wells where an individual's well is adequate to deliver a single family's water, but now you get two or three neighbors sharing a well, water pressure's low and things. I see lots of reasons why people would prefer readily to have a water district.
And that was a good question from the caller, why? And I think they're looking to the future out there. Am I right, Buster? Do you know anything about development plans? Because I've heard that now there's an RV resort out there as well.
They're doing quite a bit of development out there, like you said. Growth is going pretty good. We had that one big housing tract that was planned out there that, you know, money stopped them, when the economy changed quite a while back. And so I think if they think that it's better if they can get the wells, you know, especially with the more people you got involved, the larger well you can drill. Surprising, there's quite a bit of water out in that area. Like when we put the gas stations in and they had to put in septic ponds, actually hit water at 6 foot in one place, which, you know, I told them they must have hit somebody's water line, but no, they'd hit water that shallow out there.
All right, so the last time we talked, we had a little fairgrounds update as well. Has that consultant been hired for the fairgrounds?
Not that I know of. I don't think so. I don't think we've had somebody come in yet. You know, they're doing a few things. We're going to have an update coming, I think, at the next board meeting on fairgrounds and where it's going and what their plan is, especially in looking for a new site for a possible fairgrounds.
Right. So we were talking off the air, too, about, man, the congestion down there on the weekends, especially at I-40 and Highway 95, as you come in and out of Havasu. You get off the highway or you're leaving to go either north or south, I think it is. It looks like east and west, but it's actually north and south, right? To Kingman or?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Or to the state line. It's so congested down there. Now, I've heard the option of a light being proposed, which not to put anybody down, but I think it's kind of funny to put a light there at the Havasu Heights intersection.
Oh, yeah.
I just think, wow, you're going to slow people down from 70 miles an hour for a light for a very limited number of cars when they already have a transition lane. You could actually make a speed zone right there and reduce the speeds. And then enforce it, of course. But it seems like more and more, Buster, there needs to be a stoplight or some sort of signal where those truck stops are, the Pilot, the Loves. Now you've got the Terrible Herbst over there, the Chevron station. It's just getting more and more congested. And that line goes back, you know, a mile or two sometimes. Is that something the county's looking at all?
No, it'd be a state issue there, but as far as the off-ramp go, probably the only thing they could do, it wouldn't alleviate what your problem you're talking about. They could put, you know, make it a wider on-ramp and off-ramp, you know, where you could get, two lanes of cars or three lanes of cars coming off. When we put that in, we thought we had it handled. Remember, there used to be a big hill there, and that was one of the things I worked about. It was one of the second things. The first thing was to change the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit out there to 65, because that was nothing but a ticket haven for the local DPS guys.
Absolutely.
But when we put that in, as soon as we, you know, they put their big sign up to begin with, and we had to put a plywood sign saying, you know, fuel is not open yet because trucks were just pulling in like crazy. And the one thing that I'd looked at when I'd looked at trying to get, you know, a sheriff substation built out there on the I-40 and looked at putting the dog kennel out there and then obviously the coroner's office at the same time too.
The coroner's office, right. Okay.
And yeah, and what I wanted to do was then, because that would be at the Franconia off-ramp is where we're looking at.
Oh, Franconia, yeah. The one before it as you're coming towards Havasu from Kingman.
Yeah, okay. The other one right there. So then what we'd looked at doing was hooking a bypass around that would come over to 95. So say you're coming from Kingman, you could get off of Franconia and then bypass the gas stations there at 95.
Wow.
And then hit 95 coming down. Or if you were coming up from Havasu and say you wanted to go to Kingman, you just catch over and go on Franconia to alleviate the traffic. I still think that'd be a good idea, but we'll see about the future.
That's actually a really good idea. I wonder if Steve Latosky had any thoughts on that. I'll have to ask him next time he's on the show.
Yeah, I think I involved him in it too, looking at it. I think he went out and walked it. I can't remember.
He probably did. You're probably right. Buster, our time is short today. So, I'd like to thank you for being on the show. Anything you want to get out there before we let you go? You got any announcements?
Well, no big announcements.
No big announcements. Sarah Hall is safe. There you go.
That's good. All right, thank you.
Thank you so much, Buster. All right, let's take a short break. We'll have Tim Giles come in, and he's from Inspire the Church. Tim's going to come in and tell us about some activities that are going on. He's also a contributor on KNTR Sports, by the way.
Wow.
For our local high schools, the schedules and that sort of thing. And I'm going to go to the phone during the break and let the caller know that we've got to get our guest on, and then we'll go to the phone. So I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Brother Jim Russell. You're listening to Speak Out for a Monday.
Don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. They never stay home, and they're always alone, even with someone they love.
We're back on Speak Out. Jim, I had no idea we were in such high company.
Yes, indeed.
We have a pastor in the house. I did not know that, Tim. Tim Giles is with us. He's the founder and pastor for Inspire the Church.
Yes, sir.
Here in Lake Havasu City.
Yeah.
I need to tell everybody that Speak Out is brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, also Mojave Community College, GDK LLC, SunPower by Esme Electric, Herbs, Herbs, and by Thane, the lonely guy O'Brien was spot on. Give Thane a call, 928-706-2784, or send an email to toBrien with an E at spoton.com. Do you know why he's lonely?
Because he's the Maytag man.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah, spot on is like the Maytag of the point-of-sale industry. When you run your credit card in that, it's always on, it's always up. There's no need for Thane to go out there and do any maintenance or troubleshooting or tech support or whatever duties
he just
they put
hangs
on
around
Thane.
The house waiting for a call.
Right, exactly. So give Thane a call, 706-2784. All right, we're back with Brother Jim.
Lost your place, huh?
I forgot your last name.
This is so
Brother Jim
scripted.
Russell. Oh, I know. Plus, I'm getting older.
Let's talk to the guests.
Just celebrated that 58th birthday thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is. But, yeah, Tim, founder of Inspire the Church.
Yes, sir. Yep.
What led you to
Found a church.
I know, right?
What led you to do such an undertaking?
So, I mean, obviously God, but one thing my wife and I, we moved out here originally in 2003, and we were part of another church, and it just seemed like there wasn't anything. It seemed like most of the church stuff was geared towards older people, which I understand. I mean, we're a resort, retired community, but there are a lot of young people here. And I remember one time going downtown during Fright Night, and just thinking, oh my gosh, this is where all the young people are hanging out. Jeez, I didn't realize there was so many. I mean, it was flooded out there. So, you know, it just kind of stuck in us that there's a real need here for people that want to connect with God, or that are curious, or want to, you know, learn about the Bible or connect in that sort of way in their community, that there's a place and an outlet for them. And so, that was kind of our undertaking, that, you know, we're sort of, out of the box style church.
What does that mean?
Well, so like our main motto is we're leaving the 99 to save the one. You know, it's a scripture that comes from the Bible. And part of that is because we do things that are out of the norm. You know, a lot of times we have traditions in every area of life, but we have traditions, you know, in church, and sometimes it's a language tradition or these other things, and they actually create barriers instead of bridges. And
so when you set out to start a church, to found a church,
yes, sir,
do you lean towards one denomination or another?
Some people do, right?
Is it like a franchise?
Yeah, and there are some, yeah, exactly. But no, we weren't a part of any denomination. We're a non-denominational church, so there's no franchise. A lot of times, you know, you're under a sister church or a mother church, mm-hmm, and whatnot. And no, we just actually started it all from scratch and kind of rewrote the rule book on it.
But you're pretty close with Farron and the folks over at Advanced Ministries,
yes, sir,
correct?
Yep. Yeah.
What's,
yep,
your relationship with them?
Well, so when we originally moved to town, I'd done radio out in Seattle, Washington, where we're from. So I stopped by Farron's office, you know, right when I got into town, and just said, you know, hey, I've been in television and radio and stuff and love to help you guys out. And so, you know, it was actually a few weeks later I was on the radio with them, and
I
just
think that's
since then.
About the time I met you via email. He had emailed and said, hey, if there's anything you guys have. And I said, well, as a matter of fact, there is. We're looking for someone to report scores, local scores,
yes,
and the local schedule for high school games.
Yep, yep.
And you,
yep,
stepped right up.
Yeah. No, that was fun. So, and you're like, hey, so you know sports? I'm like, yeah, I know sports. You know, I watch it on TV all the time. And I love baseball. I'm a coach and whatnot. And it was a different thing getting into all the high school sports because,
right,
you know, you're learning it. And on,
yeah,
the radio, you know, you got to be comfortable with what you're talking about.
Sure.
So it was like, all right, what am I going to talk about? Now I'm doing research, then I'm doing background, and then I'm emailing other high school coaches.
Oh, great.
And
so you really got into it.
I did. It was fun. It was kind of fun tossing around the, hey, I'm reporting some sports for KNTR, and you got,
right,
their attention right away.
That was KNTR Sports, by the way,
yep,
over on 94.3,
oh, yeah,
980 AM, where,
yep,
we started,
the old,
right?
Yes.
Yep. And 100.5, so Tim would call in on the telephone and and report all that stuff over the phone.
Yeah, high school. Yeah, yeah.
You should have been over a microphone, though. You sound much better,
yeah,
through
a
mic.
Well, and it was tough doing it over the phone with that phone system. Sometimes you'd hear some talk back and whatnot. And
right.
And that trips you out. And, oh, my gosh. And then every time I would get on, like, my earbuds would just cut. I'm like,
that figures, right?
Steve would be on the other end. Tim, are you there? Tim. And I'm, you know,
relying on technology.
Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah.
So where is Inspire the Church?
We are on Swanson Avenue, right across from ASU.
Did you build your own building? Or?
No. We started actually in our living room with three people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then just built it over time there. And then we actually, so when I first met you via email, church had been going for a little while. But we purchased that building about 5 years ago. It was it was empty. I think the coffee shop had moved in next door, street side. It was still, there was still street parking when we first moved in, and we revitalized the building and, put in a playground and did some other, updates to it. And that was also right before the senior center right across the street, or the senior living community
across
the street. So we had done that, moved into that building. And then right after we moved in is when they started proposing that project for the senior living.
Oh, amazing. And how long ago was that?
That was 5 years ago, or no, geez, going on 6 years ago.
What a time to get your own building, right?
Yeah,
I mean, look at the value now.
Yeah, I had all sorts of people calling me right after that project went through, and now, you know, where they were going to build the micro hospital across the street, well, that's actually changing. They're going to be doing some multifamily units, which is way good, you know, because we need family units right now.
So what's the number of parishioners that you have now?
Oh, we welcome around 100 people a week.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's very impressive.
Yeah, we're
from Easter. 3 people to 100.
Yeah. And Easter was insane because it was just I don't know if the fire department's listening. But.
No. It'll just be between us.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
don't tell anybody,
Pete,
but.
Chief Pete's a loyal listener.
It was crazy, Pat.
We don't want to go there.
It was great, though. No, we have 150 allowance in our building, and we filled that sucker up. It was amazing.
You've got a vacation Bible school coming up. Is that right?
Yes, we have a vacation Bible school coming up, and I think it's the second or third week of June. We'll be having some information out there. You can find that information on Facebook or our website.
Is that an annual occurrence?
No, this is going to be our first VBS. We just hired a new children's minister. She's amazing. She really wants to do a VBS. So we'd love to do it. I mean, I personally love, you know, hitting all the VBSs in synchronization with my kids throughout the summer. Gives them something to do. And
what's the age group on that?
It'll be elementary.
Okay. So like kindergarten through sixth?
Yeah, exactly. Probably kindergarten through fifth or kindergarten through sixth.
And then what happens at Vacation Bible School?
I've actually never been.
Really?
No, but there'll be a little project for them to do, little teaching and things like that, little snacks, and just something to reinforce positive values.
Kind of like Sunday school on a daily basis?
It is. It actually is. A little funner than Sunday school. It's real kind of project based. So, you know, they're creating things, and I believe it's the week right before Father's Day. So one thing we talked about is let's have them make something for their dads, and then they got to come on Sunday, the dads do, to get their little thing that
right.
they made.
Is there a cost for this?
No, it's absolutely free.
Oh, wow, yes, that's wonderful. Good.
Church, nonprofit, they take that seriously.
No, I get that.
Free is good.
But you can't always offer free.
Oh, yeah, no, well.
I mean, I work for a Boys and Girls Club.
I tell you what,
there's still costs involved.
There are. Yeah. I tell you what, the people that attend Inspire are amazing. They are generous people. You know, when we had originally talked, I was telling you about all the feeding that we had done throughout the holidays. You know, we fed close to 1,000 people this holiday season, and all of it is due to the people that give, you know, and using those funds to feed people around the community.
Right. Again, we're talking with Tim Giles. He is the pastor and founder for Inspire the Church here in Lake Havasu City. If you want to give him a call, it's 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. We've had a lot of church-based guests lately.
Have you really?
Yes.
Very cool.
So anyway, what other activities do you have coming up?
So we're doing VBS. We just got done with Easter where we fed multiple families and then did egg hunts, give bikes away to kids and whatnot. VBS will be coming up. Then we'll do a back to school in the end of July, give away backpacks, and then we kick off our fall programs.
What can people do if they want to learn a little bit more about Inspire?
Inspirethechurch.com.
Inspirethechurch.com.
Sunday mornings at 10:30, Wednesdays at 6. Yeah.
And the location again?
It is 2139 Swanson. So we're right across from the ASU Lake Havasu campus, right on Swanson
Very
Avenue.
Good.
Isn't it great how that internet thing works?
Yeah.
Amazing. Do we credit God with that or Al Gore?
Yeah. I don't know. It was like, well, did God give Al Gore the idea?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. It could have been.
We're right on the same wavelength. How funny. So, yeah, tell me the times in that for your services on Sunday.
So we do Sunday services at 10:30 a.m.
Okay.
And they usually go about an hour, hour and a half. And then Sunday or Wednesdays at 6 p.m. as well.
Wednesday at 6, Sundays at 10:30.
Yeah, yep.
That's a great time, by the way.
Yeah. It's you know, we actually realize that people don't want to get up that early here in Lake Havasu. I was surprised. I love, you know, because during growing seasons and whatnot, you know, we'll throw in another service and we put in an early service and everybody's like, no, we're still coming to the later service.
Tim, do you do any outreach to, say, senior centers and groups?
Yes, we do. Actually, we do church services at senior centers. So the first one was the one right across the street from us, and we hold a church service there every Sunday at 4 p.m. So it's really neat because they don't get the opportunity to, you know, get to church. Some of them are, you know, don't have the ability physically to get there and whatnot. So we're beginning, we started right at the end of COVID and, doing this across the street. And then, now that the pandemic has waned quite a bit, especially here in Mojave County, we're actually in talks with, other senior centers, because we literally go there to hold a Bible study church service right there, and they love it. You know, sure. They love it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Are there any regulations unique to starting a church?
There's a little bit. So you have to actually have a nonprofit. I mean, if you're going to have a bank account, you got to have an incorporate, you know, and so we have a nonprofit corporation with the state of Arizona.
Is that a 501c3?
No, the 501c3 is actually a tax designation.
You're a C12, right?
No. We're regulated as a 501c3.
Okay.
Because we're a church. So churches have a special tax designation. If you have a church, you're automatically granted a 501c3 if you have the correct paperwork set up with your state. So we set up the right paperwork with the state of Arizona. And then given a 501c3 by the IRS. Because the 501c3 is a IRS federal thing that deals with tax law, and then the nonprofit corporate status is with the state of Arizona to do business in
Interesting.
Arizona.
Interesting. Very interesting. So how long have you been preaching God's word then?
I graduated from Bible school in 2000. So I've been at it for some time then.
What do you mean by Bible school?
So I went to a seminary down in Oklahoma, and that was a 2-year seminary. And then actually started working for the seminary. From there, I moved back to my hometown in Seattle and worked in the media department at a decent-sized church. And then from there, I moved out here. I actually moved to Lake Havasu originally in 2003. And started, I was a youth pastor and whatnot.
Well, if you have your own production equipment, you should produce a PSA and send it to us.
Yeah, no, I totally will. Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
There you go. And what else was I going to ask? I can't remember, Jim.
What brought you to Havasu?
You know, it was just, I think it was a God idea. My grandma had lived here for a little bit. I knew nothing about it, didn't really care. And we came out here to visit my grandma one time. It was actually a Memorial Day weekend, and it was hotter than sin. And we were like, this is insane. And it was just Memorial Day weekend.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah. We were like, oh, my gosh.
It would seem like Memorial Day wouldn't be an attraction for a man of the cloth.
Yeah, because we had a 3-day weekend. So we just thought, because we didn't know anything about Lake Havasu. So we just thought, let's just go out and visit Grandma and see what she's got cooking out there in the desert and, you know, hang out with her a little bit. Oh, my gosh, it's hot. And just about a year or two later, we just kind of felt this thing inside of us, like, you know what, maybe we need to do a church in Lincoln. And we started looking into it, and that's when, you know, all the ideas about realizing the town and the need here. And so we moved out here and actually started helping Richard Tatham, which is Farron's father-in-law, Debbie,
yes,
his wife's dad. So we started helping Richard Tatham, and him and I have been friends since then.
We actually had the pastor on the Havasu Pioneers radio.
I remember talking to him about that.
Yeah.
We were eating breakfast a few weeks ago, and he was telling me about it, so he was pretty excited.
That's quite the story, how he happened upon the broadcasting equipment.
Yeah,
at
you're
an
right,
auction.
At the auction.
It's like, I mean,
didn't know what he was doing.
Anything yes. about what am I buying here.
Yep, yep.
And it just worked out.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. So you started with, you said, 3 people in a living room.
Yes, sir.
You've grown to 100.
Yes, sir.
So where are those... I want to say, where is the flock coming from? Are they coming from other churches? Are they
we do our best, you know, to leave other churches, leave other people in other churches. That's how it should be.
Well, I'm not saying recruiting.
It happens.
Did they lose faith in their church or wanted to find a new church?
Well, you know, sometimes you have that, but...
Do you ask people that question?
Yes. You know, hey, where are you from?
How'd
you hear about this, you know? But a lot of people move into town. A lot of young people move into town. We befriend them. That's how we, you know, start growing the church. And then just telling other people about the gospel that are interested, you know. And then also outreach programs. Helping people. Helping people is the best way. They don't care what you know until they know that you care. And so we operate on that basis.
Mm-hmm. Are you finding with the events of the world going on right now, especially with Russia and Ukraine, and that people are finding maybe they should go seek faith right now? Does it come in cycles like that?
It does. It kind of comes in seasons and growth seasons that dictate a lot about the environment, you know, physical environment, you know, weather, all of that stuff. But 2021 was where people were like, oh my gosh, this is the end of the world.
Yeah,
and, you know,
sure.
And so attendance is shooting up. Right. And then people are like, oh, maybe it's not the end of the world. And, okay, we'll be okay for a little while. I guess we don't have to go to church right now. You know?
That's funny.
But, no, there was a lot of attention, especially at first. And people were afraid. And just the first few months of the pandemic, from about April to that summer of 2020, it was really bad. Actually.
I was going to say, how did the pandemic affect your growth, and what was it like trying to expand the church during a pandemic?
So it made us really busy, you know.
Really?
Yes, because of just the unknowingness. There's just terrible stories, you know, child abuse, people just flipping out, divorce just going off the, and, you know, and we're
substance abuse too.
Substance abuse, really? Off the chain. It was crazy. So, you know, we're doing our best, everything we can to help. And then I think it was about near the end of May, we opened back up here in Mojave County. So we began bringing people back in. And it was slow but sure, you know, because, I mean, at first, you know, we thought if we went outside, we were going to die. And we slowly learned, no, that's not actually true. So, but then we started building after that. And by the fall of 2021, it really, you know, brought up steam. But we were doing marriage seminars and whatnot, trying to help people to communicate better and, you know, relax a little bit more and don't freak out.
So what inspired you at first to go to, like, say, to go to seminary? And were you raised in a religious family?
Semi-religious. You know, I was raised with a family that knew God and whatnot, but I wasn't raised in church. And I think that helped me, because I didn't have all those traditions built up in me, like church has to look like this and sound like this and be like this. And in fact, I related all my time, because I was a wild child, you know, where, yeah.
You too?
I thank God I'm just here right now. Mm-hmm. But, I related all those things of, you know, what a lot of things I feel like sometimes churches do, people, it doesn't really impact their lives and they don't really care. It's not relevant, you know. I read a quote by one author. He said, you know, it's not that I don't believe in God. I just don't find the church really relevant or helpful for me. And I'm like, oh, man, that hurts. That hurts, you know.
Right.
So it's something that, you know, like I said earlier, even language traditions, you know, where you have your church speak and all the fancy words they use, it just zooms over people's head.
Yeah, I don't find that from you at all.
No, sir. Yeah. It's
and pretty, I have heard that in past interviews.
Yeah.
But I don't hear that from him at all, Jim.
Yeah.
Do you?
No. It's very, very pleasant.
Right.
Very plain speaking. And I don't know. It's the best way to communicate, I feel like. If people don't understand you, what good is it to talk to them?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. So.
Exactly. Anything else you want to get out there before we go to our last break?
We're just welcome everybody. You know, if you're seeking, you're curious, come on into Inspire. We'd love to share a conversation with you
and let people know where the location is.
Yeah, it's 2139 Swanson Avenue. We're inspirethechurch.com, Facebook. We have a big Facebook following, videos up there all the time that you can check stuff out.
What's the nearest landmark on that?
ASU. We're right across the street from ASU Lake Havasu, right next to Streetside Coffee.
Oh, perfect. Sounds good. Sounds like a little investigation is due on a Sunday morning.
Yes,
on my part.
Or a Wednesday night.
When I'm not. Well, no. It would be perfect to recover at church after one of my Saturday nights. Trust me.
Amen.
Yeah. I play music for, I wouldn't call it a living, but, you know, it's a hobby.
But, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Black Cat X could become affiliated with Inspire.
There you go. We could host a concert.
We might have to change our name from Black Cat X, though.
No. No way.
I don't know if that fits. All right, back with more in a moment. Tim Giles, our guest, thank you so much for joining us. He's the pastor and founder at Inspire the Church. Again, it's inspirethechurch.com.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to check it out.
All right.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us. All right, we're back on Speak Out for about a minute anyway, and great guests today.
Yeah. Buster followed by a pastor.
Perfect fit. Perfect fit, right?
Right.
All right. On tomorrow's show, we have Mayor Cal Sheehy. Good. And he'll be in with Councilmember Jenny Koch. And so that should be a pretty good show. And then we've got a good friend of mine coming in. He was, or still is until next year, the Nautilus principal, John Moss. Jonathan Moss, yeah. And we worked at the Boys and Girls Club together in Bullhead City. He was also a two-time Youth of the Year.
Wow.
A very young person, but he's in a high place right now with the school district. We'll find out more about that. And then we're going to have somebody on from the county talking about an event coming up called the Sasquatch Hunt. It's the first one.
I think it's our good friend Sean must be forward to that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, we got to go. Sean Hannity, Karate Man, is up next on KNTR.
This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.